welcome to Weekend Warriors, the Foreign Affairs Weekly podcast that brings you the rest of the news. I'm Essie Cupp. To Britain, where the embattled Prime Minister Theresa May just survived a no-confidence vote by her own Conservative Party this very week. May has been under fire over her handling of Britain's plan to withdraw from the European Union. You know that as Brexit. Now, Theresa May needed a majority vote amongst her own party to retain the Conservative Party leadership and, in turn, continue on as Prime Minister to lead the charge and continued negotiations around Brexit. And according to a Downing Street spokesperson, the next big vote on Brexit will come in January 2019, when Parliament will decide on a withdrawal agreement between the UK and the EU. It's been a long time in coming. Joining me now is Republican strategist, former RNC communications director, CNN political commentator Doug Hyde. Doug, you're over in Britain a lot. You know the contours of this on the ground. Let's start with your reaction to the results of this vote, the fact that Theresa May just barely survived. What does that tell you?
Sure. I mean, in politics, a win is a win. And, you know, in the UK, they have a very different system from ours, where they have to where it's a parliamentary system. And the vote of no confidence that we just saw, she won. It wasn't a massive victory. It was about a 2-1, which when you're dealing with your own caucus with over 100 votes, 117 or 19, I believe, is the number. That's a lot of no votes. But she won. And in politics, you have to live to fight for another day, which she's doing. And in this case, the next deadline would be January.
Well, explain to people who maybe haven't been following this. Why was it close at all? Why is there consternation within her own party?
Well, I'd go back to the initial Brexit vote. In fact, I landed in London the day after the vote. And much like in Washington, D.C., so many people were shell-shocked after Donald Trump's victory. People in London were shell-shocked. They couldn't believe that the Leave vote passed. All the polls had predicted that it wouldn't. Very similar to the United States, you had a very, very big divide between urban voters who were more pro-Europe in their orientation than rural voters who were anti. But it also, again, very similar to our politics here, wasn't necessarily just about Brussels. This was an anti-London vote. And I'm reminded of the line from The Candidate, that movie with Robert Redford, where at the end he wins and says, well, now what do we do? And it's very clear that given that most people, even a lot of elements within the Leave campaign, weren't really confident that they were going to win. This is another similarity to the Trump campaign. They won and now said, well, now what do we do?
And
that caused David Cameron to end up having to step down, where then there was a huge brawl to see who would be the next prime minister for the UK, which was about a week-long fight. Since then, Theresa May has been thrust in this position of trying to cobble something together that resembles Brexit, but is something that she didn't support. And so she's administering and administrating something that wasn't necessarily her first priority, so to speak. And so she's had a hard time doing it.
Yeah.
And the Tory party is very divided on this. You have people who are pro-leave and pro-remain, and they are still pro-leave and pro-remain. Mm. So you're seeing talk about having a second referendum on whether or not they really meant the vote in the first place.
Yeah.
And then, like anything else, you get into the details. And if you're pro-leave, well, maybe this package isn't pro-leave enough for you. And you're dealing not just with Europe, but then ultimately the ramifications of each individual country in Europe or I should say, negotiating a trade agreement with the United States, which will be no easy task either.
Well, we'll talk about the details of Brexit and these negotiations in a second. But in your view, how does Theresa May go into those negotiations now? Is she embattled? Is she strengthened by this vote, or is she a bit weaker?
Well, she's alive. And that's the first and foremost, is she's going to go into January still able to try and present some kind of package to the European Union. But again, we'll have a very difficult time of then passing that within her own party. Look at the talk right now in the United States, and I'll try and stop doing the comparisons to the U.S. because I think they can be overblown, in what we're looking at with the possible shutdown, where Republicans may not back Trump on this. Mm. It's a very similar situation.
Right.
And then you have, obviously, political motivations as well. If you're a very pro-leave Tory member, and this may not be something, whatever this may turn out to be, something that you support. So May is in a precarious situation. And then in the meantime, she has said that once a deal has been signed, that she will step aside. And it's an open question now as to whether or not putting herself essentially in a lame duck status and essentially announcing in advance, I will be a lame duck if I get re-upped, whether that weakens her or not.
So let's talk about Brexit. It's the law, right? Leaving the EU is the law, but this has to be negotiated and has to be pieced together, as you mentioned. What role does the EU play? Do they have to sort of agree to all of these details, or can the UK, what sort of autonomy does the UK have in putting together these details?
Well, not a whole lot, in that both parties will have to agree. And, you know, if you're England, if you're the United Kingdom, I should say, well, you want to have some kind of an agreement in place with the EU as far as trade may go and so forth,
yeah.
Because this is a massive deal. But at the same time, the European Union faces pressures as well. And they're looking at this as not what's the best deal that the UK can get. They're looking at it in part to punish the United Kingdom for leaving, because if they allow the UK to leave without the UK paying a significant penalty, well, that signals to the Italies or the Greeces or the Portugals, not of the world, but of the EU, that they can leave without penalty, too. So the EU is in a precarious situation here as well. If England is able to leave without significant penalty, and then there's obviously a broader conversation of the job markets, especially in the financial industry for London, and how all that would be affected. If they're able to leave without penalty, it sends a very real signal to other countries that they can do it as well. And that could signal the end of the euro and the European Union. Mm. So they're very high stakes here for all the players.
Well, so have there been any signs since that vote in 2016? Have there been any signs that the EU has been weakened by Brexit, even though the negotiations are still being worked out?
Well, the biggest sign I would point to is the currency vis-a-vis the dollar. The dollar's over the past couple of years has done pretty well against both the British pound and the euro, and that's in large part because of the uncertainty of what the euro is going to be, what that means for the pound, and you know, England, the UK, I should say, the UK has had a bit of a different policy when it's come to Europe as well. They have their own currency, where France, Germany, Italy, and so forth do not.
Mm-hmm.
But even so, both currencies have been weakened vis-a-vis the dollar with that. And that's going to have very real implications. And then again, there's the question of where do some of these financial sector jobs go? And so if you're a bank that is headquartered either in what's called the City, which is the traditional economic financial center of London, or Canary Wharf, which is where all the big high rises are, skyscrapers are now in the eastern part of London, you're going to lose jobs there. And so this may benefit, just in a zero-sum jobs sense, this may benefit a Paris or a Frankfurt. But again, begets that larger question of, is Europe as a whole weakened because of this, or the UK?
So you mentioned the U.S. What is its impact, Brexit's impact on the U.S. from where you stand? What does it mean for us? What does it mean for Trump? What does it mean for the U.S. dollar, et cetera?
Well, for the dollar, it by and large has been positive, but it's a positive, you know, that again is based on uncertainty. And if there's one thing financial markets do not like, it is uncertainty. And with Donald Trump, we get a lot of that. There's a reason why the three biggest market losses that we've seen have been in our history have been under Trump's tenure so far. So that instability plays a very real role. Then there's the question of what will trade with Europe be? What will trade with the United Kingdom be in a post-Brexit world? And that still will depend in some part on what gets negotiated between the EU and the UK. But for the United States, we're going to have to negotiate with England separately, with the UK separately, just as the UK is then going to have to negotiate with potentially with European countries separately, but then also the rest of the world, where they will need separate agreements that fall outside of the purview of Europe.
So final question, what do you think happens? Do they get a deal done by the March deadline?
I don't think anybody knows at this point, to be honest, Essie. This has been a situation that has been fraught with difficulty. Again, Theresa May has been sort of thrust in this position that she didn't necessarily want to be in to begin with. The no confidence vote didn't necessarily help things, but is also more a codification of what an uncertain process this is for the Tories moving forward. I should add that the vote yesterday failing means that Theresa May can't be challenged for another year. Now, she may end up leaving before that of her own accord, but we know that there won't be another challenge for at least 1 year, just based on how the laws on this work in the UK. But anyone who tells you that they know with certainty what the next steps are going to be, I think even if they end up being right at this point, are wrong.
Well, I appreciate your honesty and I appreciate your candor here and your expertise.
It's easy to say I don't know.
No, I appreciate that. You don't hear that enough in this business. But thanks for laying it all out there for us. I really appreciate it, Doug Hyde.
Anytime. Thank you.
And that's it for this edition of Weekend Warriors. Join me next time. I'm Essie Cupp.